What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, November 18th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, at Gary Witta.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm great, Gary. How are you?
I'm just wonderful. I'm a very happy gamer at the moment.
Why is that?
There's just so much great stuff out there. It's just like great times to be, you know, new consoles, new games. It's the holiday season, all the hot games come out. It's just a lot of great stuff happening right now.
Where have you been spending most of your time? Where have you been spending most of your time right now?
I mean, geez, all over the place. Trying to think. What have I been playing? In the last week, I have played Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War, Tetris Effect, Connected, Dirt 5, Fuser. I've been watching, my wife's been playing Assassin's Creed, Valhalla.
Is she loving it? You know, she's a huge Assassin's Creed fan.
I think Odyssey still reigns supreme for her, but she's warming up to it more and more and more as she gets into it. She's definitely like fully into it. Yeah.
She's invested. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. She already went and bought like $20 worth of like extra coins to buy
Helix credits.
Buy them Helix credits. So many games. And I haven't even scratched the surface yet. Still haven't played Yakuza. I haven't played Miles Morales yet. We've been playing, my kid really loves Astro's Playroom. I've been playing two-player Sackboy. I'm now on the lookout for a third DualSense controller, so all three of us in the family can play Sackboy together.
Is that hard? That's a really fun game. You had put that in Slack the other day. I haven't been keeping up. Is it hard to get even that?
I don't know if it is or not. I'm just saying it's on my list of things I need to do is get a third controller so all three of us can play Sackboy. Sleep on Sackboy. I think it's getting lost in the mix, but it's a really sweet little game.
Fantastic game. We were talking about that on PS I Love You XOXO this week. I feel like that's right now kind of the shared message is that I've never had a launch, I think, and maybe even fall so fractured where there are so many different things I want to play. Usually I'm the guy, Gary, I get a game, I sit down, I marathon that game until it's done, then I move on to the next one. And I find myself right now bouncing between all sorts of games.
Oh, yeah. There's so much good stuff. It's like, even though you may be interested in a game, like Black Ops, I was able to dispense with quite quickly. That is a very short campaign. I started Black Ops Cold War like one evening, and I was done with it by like the next afternoon. I just kind of burned through the campaign. Short campaign, really silly and fun in the way that you expect, you know, Cold War campaigns to be, you know, historically egregious across the board, but nevertheless, you know, very, very, very fun. And I don't know if I'm going to mess with the multiplayer yet, but I managed to burn through that. What else? I literally was like keeping a list of like everything I've been playing lately as I try.
I'm
going to
toss it out there, Gary. Nick Scarpino getting big into Black Ops Cold War. I would love I'd love to see a multiplayer stream with you and him.
I saw. Well, no one ever invites me, Greg. Yeah, I can't. I'm not just going to gate crash them. People have to invite me to play. I'm there. I watched some of the stream the other day with Snowbike and with Kevin and Nick, and it was great. I was like, why? I'd love to be playing in this game. No one invites me, Greg.
I'm sorry. You hate to see, especially.
That's what he said about Marvel, and we invited him during the demo period, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I'll hit you up." Nothing.
He's got you there, dead to rights. He's got you there, dead to rights, Gary.
That was Marvel, though. Dead game.
It wasn't dead at the time. That's why people really liked it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have no time to waste, even though we're wasting it. Today, we're going to talk about the Game Awards 2020 nominations, Embracer buying 12 video game developers, and Hyrule Warriors reviews rolling out, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the daily video game sun. Then, of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post-show we only do on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And you can keep the mics and lights on. Back and beyond, I used to always say, remember IGN.com keeps the mics and lights on, the mics on, the lights on. I had said something and I can't get back to it. I've been trying to reintegrate it, but I can't do it, Gary. I got to go back.
Maybe it's not meant to be. Maybe it's telling
maybe
you.
Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm forcing it.
It's not meant to be a thing. You can't force it.
That's true. If you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you, there is a brand new episode of the Kinda Funny podcast up on youtube.com/kindoffunny in podcast services around the globe. It's called We Do an Escape Room. That's right. we dialed into the Mall of America yesterday and did an escape room with a guy in an escape room with an iPad strapped to his chest, and we ordered him around as we tried to get out of the escape room. It's some grade A Kind of Funny content. Check it out, the Kind of Funny podcast. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Tom Bach. Today we're brought to you by Gabby Upstart and HelloFresh, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
How big is that?
Why are you so winded?
I screwed up my timing, and I realized 10 minutes like from our start time that I had to be home, and I was like half a mile away, so I had to run. I'm tired.
Now, does Cecil understand the urgency, or does he think you're just playing with him?
He understands the urgency, and he is running full blast, tongue all the way out, wind in his hair. It was fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, the top story of the day, of course, is the Game Awards 2020 nominations. Jeff Keighley, of course, took to the internet today to tell everyone what the judges, the more than 90 outlets who voted on the Game Awards, have nominated in several different categories. We're going to run through them here. We will not run through every category. You, of course, can find those around the internet. Some top line highlights, though. This year, Sony Interactive Entertainment is the most nominated publisher with 22 nominations across its portfolio of games. This is the second highest count for publisher nominations in Game Awards history, following Nintendo's record-setting 23 nominations for the Game Awards 2017. Then on Twitter, industry analyst Benji Sales rounded this up. Here is the four titles up for the most Game Awards at the Game Awards 2020, not including the Esports Award. The Last of Us Part 2 has 10 nominations. Hades has 8 nominations. Ghost of Tsushima has 7 nominations. And Final Fantasy 7 Remake has 6 nominations. Gary, let's top line it here. Again, I've cut off a few of the categories, mainly the Esports stuff, some of the Sim stuff. So not the full list. You can get that around the globe. But as we get into this now, Game of the Year, your nominees are Animal Crossing, New Horizons, Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, and The Last of Us Part II. Gary, Game of the Year, those six nominees right there, how does that sit with you? Where does it smack you? What's going on?
You know, I haven't played every game on that list. I've played most of them. Yeah. I think it's... I mean, first of all, let me preface this by saying to you what I said to you before the show. I don't care about awards. I think they're silly. So
you already got an Oscar. You don't care anymore. I understand.
I think they're largely a waste of time. I understand why people like them. I just personally don't care about them. So it's hard. I'm not. If you're expecting a rant or something, you're not going to get it, because I have to care about something to rant about.
Guarantee we're going to get a rant by the end of this. When we get to reader mail, I guarantee there'll be a Gary with a rant up your sleeve. But okay.
The only thing I'll say about the Game of the Year awards category, and it does actually irritate me a bit. That's because not because I care about awards, because I think they just got this one wrong. And I'll just say in general, any Game of the Year shortlist, nominee list that doesn't have Fall Guys on it is illegitimate in my eyes.
Wow.
So there you go.
Wow. Spitting in Jeff Keighley's face. You know what I mean? You hate to see it, but it's not the first time you've done it. Yeah, I think the Game of the Year list is interesting. Again, Animal Crossing, Doom, Final Fantasy, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, and The Last of Us Part II. For me, the standout on there is Doom Eternal. I'm really surprised Doom Eternal got a nod. I would have thought a Fall Guys would have gotten in.
Yeah,
over
see,
that.
That's so. I mean, I hesitate to say it because that's one of the ones I haven't played. So it's not really for me. It's not really a legitimate viewpoint for me to say you should take off this game I haven't played and replace it with one that I have. But it kind of feels like, you know, I'm glad that you said it because it kind of I had the same thought. It's like if I had to swap one game out here for Fall Guys based on what I've played and what I know of each game, I would probably drop Doom Eternal for Fall Guys. All the others, I think, are very... No one's going to complain about Last of Us or Hades or Tsushima. Those are all totally legitimate. Doom Eternal, I'm just kind of like, eh. But Fall Guys, it should really... And I've been saying this for a long time now. Fall Guys is... No Game of the Year nominee list is complete without it. And this one doesn't have it. I don't get it. That's all. Seems very strange to me.
While we're here, again, we're going to go through all the categories I wrote down here. Wit writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, to be part of the show, and says, so the Game Awards nominees were just announced, and very few November games made as much of a splash as many expected or hoped. Jeffy Grubgrub, from GamesBeat, of course, even said that voting happened before people got to play Demon's Souls and Sackboy. I hope this is not too contrarian, but I just don't buy Greg's argument that the Game Awards won't be as popular if it moves to early January. The Oscars is the most watched live television event in the United States outside of the Super Bowl, and it does not occur until mid to late February. In fact, the anticipation by moving to January may get people more invested because they will actually have time to play all the games during the holidays. Does Jeff think that he will not get as many game announcements if he moves the Game Awards to January? Ultimately, it's just a pet peeve of mine, but I do think the Game Awards would benefit as a whole for both the games and the consumer by moving it to January. Love all you do. Stay safe and healthy. Gary, should the Game Awards move to January?
Yes.
Why?
We've talked about this before, Greg. We talked about it, what was it, last year with the Jedi Fallen Order debacle where that couldn't be considered because it came in a little bit late. It's dumb. I don't understand it. I don't understand the thinking behind it. The Game Awards, I think, now has established itself as a big enough event in its own right that you could put it any time in the year and people are going to tune in and people are going to want to partner and do their announcements and stuff like that. There's a reason why the Oscars are in February. It's to give all the jurists and all the voters enough time to properly, you know, view and consider and think about and ruminate on and vote for everything that came out in that calendar year. Just like video games, a lot of the prestige movies come out toward the end of the year because they want to be, you know, freshest in the voters' minds. Mm-hmm. I get that. That's a strategy. A lot of the biggest and best games come out at the end of the year because that's the holiday buying season. So two different reasons. But in both games and movies, a lot of the games and a lot of the films that are most likely to be worthy of awards consideration come out towards the end of the year. That's why the Oscars are where they are. Why the Game Awards doesn't do that, and so instead we get this ridiculous situation where a huge awards worthy game like Jedi Fallen Order can't be considered, or especially this year when a lot of the big next gen titles that people are excited about, and you've got, you know, Jeff Grubb saying, well, we only had one day to consider it. It's preposterous. They should move it. I don't really care whether you do awards or not, but if you're going to do them properly. Allow people to properly play and consider and vote for everything that came out in that calendar year. Or what's the point? It's silly. I think it delegitimizes the awards to a large degree to do them this way.
I think, you know, I just saw a Blessing in the chat over here make a point that I think resonates to some extent. And that's the Game Awards aren't the Oscars. The Game Awards are the VMAs. And I think that is the push and pull of this, is the Game Awards are the premier awards show for our industry. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. Dice Awards are great and they have a great host every year. But Game Awards are where all the eyes are and what's going on with it. And I think that's interesting to wrestle with in terms of what Jeff wants the show to be and what the show is, which I think is great. And of course, there's a We Have Cool Friends with Jeff. I'd encourage everybody to go see where we talk about doing especially this year in the pandemic. But not only what he wants it to be, but what it actually is now and what it actually is to the audience. Because the argument always is, and what we talk about on the We Have Cool Friends with Jeff, me and him, is that, well, yeah, there are these weird cutoff times for it, but Jedi Fallen Order is then still counted for next year. Next year, you know, Demon's Souls Demon's Souls Remastered and Sackboy will be eligible for the next round of things, right? In terms of how this all shakes down. I think I'm speaking out my ass on that. We're going off of what Jeff Grubb said. I haven't checked the dates of we are a judge for full disclosure, kind of funny, but I forget what the dates are for when it was the cutoff for nominations, yada yada. But for argument's sake right now. And what the industry actually holds them up to be. I think this year, and like, because Whit takes me to task here, right? I just don't buy Greg's argument that the Game Awards won't be as popular if it moves to early January. There's a lot to wrestle with. And 2020, I think, really does put it in a different lens and in a different conversation this time around, where I think historically it has been, the Game Awards have been here at the end of December because of, it's a great marketing beat to get you excited for the new year. We're past Black Friday, so people will talk a little bit about what's coming up for next year and get you hyped for that. You know, it timed out with PSX in the past. Old days. So there was already an event happening to piggyback off to give runway to the Game Awards, to make it seem like, to make both events, you know, feed off of each other's energy and get to where they need to be and going and how big they need to be. And then also, traditionally, this is how, you know, your IGNs and GameSpots and websites have done it before. I shouldn't, and again, this is, you know, every year it changes, everybody does it differently, yada, yada, yada. I do wonder for 2020 if right now the traditions of the Game Awards are hampering the Game Awards. Where if it is the fact that, well, yeah, you know, at the end of the year, it's another great reason it's where it is that, hey, everybody can come to this. You're done making your games. Your, you know, studios are starting to go dark. Everybody's going away for the holidays. And the industry at large, the people who would go to the Game Awards, want to celebrate and blow off steam and have this big party and have this big celebration together. Whereas January, it is, again, this is a traditional year. January it is, you're starting to ramp up and you're starting to get going. You're starting to think about what happens next. And even bringing DICE into the conversation, and not the DICE Awards, but the DICE actual event. You have an event in February already that's going to be this big thing. So I think it's traditionally been this juggling of, it is an event and it is an industry meet and greet and it is this thing that's marketing. 2020, I think, obviously threw all that out the fucking window, because this year, nobody's going anywhere, obviously. This year, and I don't even mean this year, right? Let me open up the stats over here from what we got sent, right? Like, the Game Awards don't need to worry about coasting off or drafting off of the success and popularity of a PSX. The Game Awards are far and away fucking huge. In 2019, the Game Awards reached 50 million global viewers, including a peak live concurrent audience of more than 7.7 million fans. Game Awards can go anywhere they want and be a big deal now. And so this would have been the year, I think, where it would have made sense to say, you know what, we're doing this virtually and we're doing it the first week we come back in January. And again, that's partly because of what 2020 is and how this year's shaken out, and then how that has shaken the Game Awards to be something different. I don't know. And this is the argument, you know, we you and I have had before on camera, Gary, an argument is being a bit loose with it, discussion of, well, yeah, like, it'd be cool, but who cares? And it's Jeff's thing. And if that's what he's doing, that's what it is. And those are the rules. And it cuts off here and it cuts off there. But it is this push and pull, I think, especially this year under the microscope of 2020, of did it need to be this way?
Yeah, I mean, and let me preface this by saying, I like, you know, I know he and I have our like fake feud on the internet, but I like Jeff Keighley a lot. Like, he's done a lot of great work in this industry. He's built this thing up from nothing into a tremendous success. He's paid his dues. Fair play to him. I give him all the credit in the world for building this amazing thing. Having said all of that, I don't buy the argument that it would somehow be less popular in January or February than December. Why? Do we suddenly have better things to do in January or February than watch the Game Awards, whereas in December we don't? It makes no sense to me at all. And I think it's a very telling argument, because when we talk about popularity, what we really mean is money. What we really mean is ratings and how much is a sponsorship worth, and things like that. And I think that it's clear that, I mean, I think it's maybe a mistake to compare it to the Oscars. And it is closer to, I think you mentioned before, like the VMAs.
That's a blessing.
And the MTV Movie Awards and stuff like that, where like, you don't take the awards seriously, but like, it's just an excuse for a big party and to sell advertising and for everyone to kind of, you know, congratulate each other. And it's, yeah, just get hyped up. And it really is about like, you know, like most anticipated and all that, all those bullshit awards that we know are just, you know, kind of, you know, marketing and publicity opportunities.
And that's, if I can stop you for 1 second. Yeah, remember, I mean, like, and again, this is no offense to Jeff or the Game Awards. I love the Game Awards. I'm proud to be a voting member of the Game Awards. But in so many ways, right, another reason it's in December is, as Gary just said, it's advertising on both ends, where it is not only are we, hey, we're advertising the games that we think are the best in the year. That way you buy them leading into Christmas, or kids ask their parents for them with Christmas, or your gift card you get at Christmas, you go and spend it on. It's also, hey, advertising for what's coming in January and getting you, or, you know, the new year, what's coming in the next year.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And we're in a situation where, like, for example, Cyberpunk, which is undoubtedly the most anticipated game of 2020. And, you know, it has a legitimate shot of, you know, it'd be very unlikely, I think, that it's not going to be one of the best games of the year, like a game of the year contender. But it won't be, because guess what, they already announced the list and the game's not even out yet, because it comes out in December. Now they'll say the same argument that they made about Jedi Fallen, oh well, you know, it'll fall into our arbitrary window for next year. But I guarantee you it won't be a game of the year contender next year.
Ooh, because 12 months, I don't know about that,
12
man.
Months from now it's going to be old news, and we're going to be talking about the new and shiny things. I don't know why they could, like, it's really simple. January 1st to December 31st, like just like every other awards show does it. Every other awards show does it on a calendar year, and they schedule the show to allow all the games and all the movies or whatever to be released within a certain year to have proper time to consider them. But I don't know, because they're obsessed with having out over the holiday season where they think it's going to be the most eyeballs on it, and again the biggest money in terms of, you know, sponsorship, advertising, the game reveals and stuff like that. You know, again, it's fine. Let it be what it is, but you know, don't pretend it's something it's not. It's a commercial enterprise first and foremost. If you want the really legitimate game awards, you go to the DICE Awards or the GDC Choice Awards.
But here's the thing, here's the thing. Well, first, oh man, Gary, I love having you on the show. So many great discussions. There's so many things you said I want to jump in on. Let's jump in right there. If you want a legitimate award, spoilers for this, there are no legitimate awards. Like, this is all, there's no, there, like, even for us as the critics in the 93 outlets or whatever, right? Like, everyone took this seriously and everyone did it. But not every judge is able to play every game. So like, it's that it does become, what have you played and what have you done? And even for DICE, that legitimizing it and legitimate, that's the industry voting on their peers, right? And look at how many people flipped the fuck out last year when Untitled Goose Game won Game of the Year. Like, it's these things are, we're, and this is goes back to me and when I, this is when I worked at IGN, not right now, they keep changing, I'm not even sure where they are, but when we had 100-point scale. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, we are not, this is not science. This is not, it's not like I take game this and I pull these things and I sit there and the computer goes beep, boop, 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 boop. It's a 7.75. And I'm like, great, fucking, we got a down to the fraction of a decimal point score. Like, all of this is just opinions. And all that means is it's what you played and what you care about and what you go for. And it's the whole reason that, like, there's a million different things. I would say that you're never, in the same way, you're never going to be able to go to IGN, GameSpot, Kind of Funny, go see a review and be like, oh, Greg really liked this game, and then you go and play it and don't like it, and you're like, Greg lied. No, it's that I have a different opinion. And that's all these award shows are. And that's the thing, is we get so hung up on taking them so seriously. And I think also, and this is me definitely being very Greg Miller about this, so stick with me, because you know I know video games really well and don't really care about movies and stuff. I enjoy them, but I don't like live and die for it, right? Where I think we put the Oscars on this pedestal, but every time the Oscars do something, I hear the fucking same arguments about them. Oscars so white, how, why do they snub this, not enough judges saw that, they hate this director. Like, there is no award show that is legitimately like, we are the super objective monolith God and we say these are the best things of the thing.
No, I think I think that's a very good point. And let me clarify. I don't necessarily think that the game awards are any more or less legitimate than any other. Again, I think they're all silly. But I know why they exist, because people like to read and watch and argue about them, and they drive engagement and they drive clicks, they drive traffic. So awards aren't going anywhere. I remember this all the way back from my days in print magazines, when we did our Game of the Year awards issue at the end of the year. That was always a big selling issue, and it drove more readership than anything else we did that year. People love lists, best this, you know, best ever this, worst ever that, Game of the Year. People just love it, because it's like something you can like zero in on. And especially these days in the age of the internet, where people love to disagree with one another, it's a focal point for disagreement. And this is why, you know, right now there's a lot of people complaining about, why isn't this in there or that? This got snubbed. You're right. Like, it's just round and round. You know, the wheel never stops turning. And I get that. Like, again, I find it a bit boring, but it is what it is. And, you know, we're going to live with awards forever. The one specific point I want to make, and I've been making about the Game Award, it's just weird to me that they schedule it in such a way that, by definition, many of the games, like, I mean, Cyberpunk's a perfect example, which is probably going to be a Game of the Year's contender, won't be considered this year, and now has to be will be thrown into the lot next year at a disadvantage, because by the time we're looking at it next year, it's going to be 12 months old, and there's going to be a bunch of newer and shinier stuff.
You brought it back around, and I love you so much for it. John Conti wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames today and said, "We're spoilers for when we get the best action adventure. Jedi Fallen Order went from a potential Game of the Year to one nomination for action adventure. Do you think this is due to its release timing, or that it simply doesn't stack up against this year's nominee? Personally, I think it deserves a Game of the Year nominee. Will we see something similar happen with Cyberpunk next year? Obviously, we are out on a limb here. We have not played. Blessing is the only person on Kind of Funny staff who's played Cyberpunk. I've seen two behind closed doors E3 demos of Cyberpunk. Obviously, we've all watched Night City Wire. The game looks incredible. Let's say Cyberpunk lives up to the hype and is the best thing since sliced bread or whatever. I guarantee you, guarantee you it will be on Game of the Year list next year for 2021. I think that it is apples and oranges, Jedi Fallen Order. I put out a tweet today of like, what a fucking year for games. And the subtext to that, ladies and gentlemen, is last year when we were barreling towards Game of the Year. And I was like, I haven't really played anything I like. And Jedi Fallen Order came around. I played it. I platinumed it. I loved it. I saw all the flaws. I saw all the issues and glitches and hangups. And I was like, this is still the most fun I've had this year. This is still my Game of the Year. I think last year was so weak. That's why Jedi Fallen Order stood out and could have had a chance at Game of the Year last year. This year, again, with all due respect to Jedi Fallen Order, a game I adore and am super excited for a sequel and love Cal and will buy the lightsaber, my third version of his lightsaber when Disney has it at the park, I would not have put that in my top six Game of the Year nominations this year.
Yeah, it's. I think with Cyberpunk, it's possible that there'll be an exception because it is such a titanically massive game. Like it's, you know, in terms of anticipation and profile, it's above everything else right now. Again, remains to be seen. We don't know. I don't think it will, but like
I don't either.
It could happen. I don't think we're ready for the. Even if it comes in like even slightly below expectations, it's tough. They've created a very high bar to clear with Cyberpunk because the expectation is like it's almost impossible to match. I think they very well might do it. I'm super, super duper excited to play it. But yeah, like, I think we can move on. I've made my point. The Game Awards should be in February, I think.
One thing I want to, well, come see, watch the Dice Awards, probably hosted by me and Showbud again. We don't know. We haven't signed any contracts. For Cyberpunk, I think it actually might work in its benefit too to be next year. Because if that game is as huge and varied and crazy as it is, what would it have done this year? Let's say it hits its initial date and we got it a week early and it's like, again, these reviewers who are playing it saying it's great and yada, yada, yada. But think about what it's going to look like a year after it comes out and everybody's seen all the different variations and there are all these different comparison and contrast videos and like, oh my God, well, if you did this 2 hours in, 30 hours in, they say this and they do that. Like, if Cyberpunk lives up to its potential, I think that game is going to be on such a pedestal that no one's going to be able to knock it down or knock it down. So there could be a different Game of the Year, obviously, you know, fucking God of War and Horizon and Halo and everything else you're throwing out and maybe Zelda. And like, there's enough stuff happening this year. Like I'm not saying it's a shoe-in for Game of the Year. I'm just saying that I still think you're going to, if it nails everything it's trying to nail, you don't have to worry about it getting Jedi Fallen Order.
Look, and at the end of the year, if you're annoyed about your favorite game not getting, nominated, trust me, there's 500 other awards out there that flopping around this time of year. You can go find plenty of awards where your favorite
game Kind of Funny Games
has been nominated.
And that's the other thing too, where I love it. Like, and I get, this is Greg Miller saying this, obviously. Greg Miller, chucklehead who plays video games, talks about him, right? Not a person who's made video games. I'm with you, Gary, for the most part, all awards are kind of meaningless, right? Like, it's cool and it's great and it's great to see people's work rewarded and shit. But again, it is like, just having these conversations and talking about it. And even if the game didn't make the nominations, to see people out there going like, where the fuck is Game X? Like, that feels good. I would hope for the creators. Yes, I'm sure they want the, you know, statue from Jeff Keighley. They want the statue from DICE and stuff like that. But it is this thing of celebrating the industry and seeing how much cool shit we did.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with celebrating achievement. And we should put a spotlight on, the creators of the games that we love to play so much. And there's nothing wrong with making money. And you know, Game Awards does all of those things. And that is primarily why a lot of these things exist. So, again, I hate to say it, I don't really. We've been talking about it a lot, but I just don't care that much.
Oh, you've had a great time though. You've had a great time talking, haven't you? And we're not done because I want to run you through the rest of the categories. Right, best game direction: Final Fantasy, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Half-Life, Alyx, The Last of Us Part Two. Best narrative: 13 Sentinels, Final Fantasy VII, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, The Last of Us Part Two. Best art direction: Final Fantasy VII, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and The Last of Us Part Two. Best performance: Ashley Johnson as Ellie in The Last of Us Part Two. Laura Bailey as Abby in The Last of Us Part Two. Suji, right? As Jin Sakai in Ghost of Tsushima. Logan Cunningham is Hades in Hades. Najee Jeter as Miles Morales in Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Games for Impact, If Found, Kentucky Route Zero. Spiritfarer, Tell Me Why, and Through the Darkest of Times. Best Ongoing, Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Call of Duty Warzone, Fortnite, No Man's Sky. Best Indie, Carry On, Fall Guys, Ultimate Knockout, Hades, Spelunky 2, Spiritfarer. Best Community Support: Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Fall Guys, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, Valorant. Innovation and Accessibility: Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Grounded, Hyper Dot, The Last of Us Part 2, Watch Dogs Legion. Best VR slash AR, Dreams, Half-Life Alyx, Marvel's Iron Man VR, Star Wars Squadrons, The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners. Best Action, Doom Eternal, Hades, Half-Life Alyx, Neo 2, Streets of Rage 4. Best Action Adventure, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Ghost of Tsushima, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Last of Us Part 2. Best Role-Playing, Final Fantasy VII, Genshin Impact, Persona 5 Royal, Wasteland 3, Yakuza Like a Dragon. Best Family, Animal Crossing New Horizons, Crash Bandicoot 4, Fall Guys, Mario Kart Live, Minecraft Dungeons, Paper Mario. Best Debut Game, Carrion, Mortal Shell, Raji, An Ancient Epic, Roki, and Phasmophobia. And then Content Creator of the Year, Alana Pierce from the Kinda Funny X-Cast. Nowhere else. That's where she came from. Nick Merckx, Tim the Tatman, J-Ann Lopez, and Valkyrie. Like I said, that's just a rundown of the ones that apply most to the audience we have at Kinda Funny. A lot of esports out there, a lot of racing stuff still out there. Check out all the Game Awards stuff for that. Gary, surprises on there for you?
I wasn't really paying attention.
You hate awards.
Yeah.
I looked into it.
I heard you rattle off a long list of game names.
Yeah.
I looked at them this morning and I'm like, yeah, okay. Again, it's hard for me to care. Whatever. Good luck to all the nominees.
Krajuki wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and said, Among Us got nominated for an award, but weirdly not best ongoing game. How significant do you think it is considering it came out in 2018, even though it didn't have its moment until 2020? Does this set a new precedent when we think about past game award shows and the conversations about PUBG, Fortnite, etc.? So, Gary, do you have an issue this year? Is it something that changes every time with Among Us not being a game that came out in 2020 being nominated for Game Awards in 2020?
It popped up a little bit when I was perusing the list of awards this morning, because it's an interesting story, isn't it, Among Us? We've talked about it before. It came out in 2017, 2018. Didn't really take off, and then a couple of big time streamers discovered it this year, and 2020 is the year of Among Us, right? Even if it technically came out in 2017 or 2018. I can't remember. It's in that area.
It's in the question. 2018.
So it came out in 2018. I saw 2017 in a couple of places. Maybe it was in beta or something. Anyway, I'm kind of okay with it. I think, it wasn't the year that it was released, but it was the year that everyone paid attention to it. But again, so what is the criteria? Does that mean that other games that have been around for a while, if they suddenly massively become popular and take off, that they now are worthy of consideration, even though they've been knocking around for years? I don't know.
Yes. Jeff talked about that. Yeah.
Okay, so fine. Okay. I don't have a problem with that.
Personally,
I think Among Us should be recognized. It's a terrific game. And right now, it's a couple of years for people to wake up to that, then that's fine with me.
Among Us is nominated for Best Multiplayer and Best Mobile Game. I think that is, you want to talk about how old I am and how long I've done this. I know the arguments we've had of, well, this game already came out. What was in beta? What was early access? Well, now it's here and it's this and it's that. And to have Jeff this year be very loud and very clear of listen, it's just what games were the best games of the year. And if you look at a thing and this is the game you played the most of it this year and that's where it belongs, nominate it that way. And if the chips fall that way and it gets the nomination votes, then let's go for it. And I think that's the right way to do it.
Because what would the other way be to do it? Hey, this was an amazing game that everyone loved this year, but hey, no one noticed it when it first came out a couple of years ago. So bad luck. No, I agree on this one. Again, I don't know if the criteria needs to be flexible. It's what was the best, not necessarily what's the best game that came out this year, but what was the best game this year? If that's going to be the criteria, then fine, just let it be that.
I agree with you, Gary. I'm glad you agree with me and Jeff Keighley on this one. I want to get into Riot Goes Wolf had this similar question. Grounded was nominated for Excellence in Accessibility, and it brought some things to mind. First of all, I love the game. It is very much an early access. I am assuming the major reason they're being nominated is the spider slider, an accessibility setting that makes the spiders in the game appear less spider-like for arachnophobes. However, the game won't fully release until 2021 at the earliest. Do you think this is odd to have something that's not going to be released this year be nominated? Or has Obsidian shown enough to deserve the award? Personally, I love seeing creative ways to implement accessibility like this and hope this nomination encourages others to think about how to expand their audience to those who might not want to play otherwise or be able to play otherwise. Riot, I think it's a your question is very interesting and a number of things. You know, Spider Slider and Grounded happened this year. And especially for it to be nominated for innovation and accessibility, I think you're right that it's being nominated for the Spider Slider. So it's not being nominated for Game of the Year, Best Experience, Most Accessible Game even. It's being nominated for innovation and accessibility. And I think that, yeah, even though that's early access and, yeah, it's still a very basic product right now, as that game, it's not about what it's going to do in the future. It's about what it did right now in 2020. And I think that that's a worthy addition and a worthy one that to inspire people and make them understand that.
I think I don't have a problem with that either. And I'm glad that they're doing these accessibility categories. And by the way, kudos to Alana and Steven Sporn for doing the whole accessibility awards that they came up with.
Hold on.
There should be more of that.
Alana, Steven, and Kind of Funny's Kevin Coelho.
Yeah.
Oh, was Kevin involved in that?
Yeah,
Kevin
ran it.
Director.
That's great, Kevin. Kudos to you also. Well done. It was brilliant. There should be more of that.
It's really easy conversation I have to have with Kind of Funny at some point.
It's really easy. Oh, what? How easy your job is?
No.
I've been saying for years we should pay you less.
All right. Let's see how that goes.
Camera's dead. Final question on this game awards front, Gary, and it's something I think you have an interesting take on, being of course from the movie world as well. Connor Kilmurray writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hey KFGD crew, at the Oscars I'm always confused as to why there's a distinction between best director and best movie, since being the best director would imply they made the best movie, and same goes for the game awards. However, games are a totally different beast, so I was wondering if you all can provide some insight as to what you think makes a game of the year, but that there could be better game direction for someone else. Thanks, and Game Daily." Gary, from your side for Connor, when you think about the Oscars and you think about movie award shows and you think of best movie, best director, what's the delineation there for you?
I think it's a very narrow one. And for that reason, I don't have the statistics, but I think if you went back and look, you would find that most of the time, the vast majority of the time, best director and best movie go to the same movie. Not all the time. There definitely have been exceptions to that. When there is an exception, when best director and best movie are split, people notice it. They go, "Oh, that's weird," because they know that the two things kind of go hand in glove. I don't know if being the director of a movie and being the director of a game are necessarily the same thing. Not every game has a quote unquote director. Like the cinematic type ones do. Last of Us, God of War, they have directors, and we generally tend to know who those people are. They kind of become personalities in their own right. There are plenty of games out there that don't necessarily have direction, quote unquote, in the traditional way that we're thinking about it. And you know, there's a vast majority. You'll notice that all the ones that are up for best direction tend to be very narratively driven and very kind of cinematic in the way that they present their story and their experience. That's no accident. Those games are directed in a similar way to movies being directed, but not every game is like that, and so I think I wouldn't compare apples to oranges in that sense.
So for the Game Awards in particular, right, the way the ballot and the categories are described here, Game of the Year, recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. Best Game Direction, awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. For me, that's, and it's what Gary was talking about, that you know, a director on a movie is a different thing than a director in a game. I think, you know, for me, Game of the Year is always what's the best game? What's the best game of the year that we can look to and say, this is as good as our industry did. This was the most fun. It had the best whatever, yada, yada. It was the best thing we did. I think that can be just gameplay. That can be the creative world you're building on your own, that you're having with it, the experiences you're creating and having. Whereas I think game direction is very much awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. That can just be something that is off the wall and you can't believe they did. And it doesn't mean it's game of the year, but when you get to control and that music kicks in and the world turns on its side, like, that's fucking crazy. I might be speaking out of turn. I think last year, Death Stranding won best game direction, right? And it's that was one for me where I was like, Death Stranding wasn't my game of the year, but I do think it was outstandingly, it had an outstanding creative vision and all this crazy shit that came together and made it work and play the way it did. And that's right. The best example I think you can give of what the difference is there. And that, yeah, even though, even right now, right? Like, looking at these two lists, game of the year is Animal Crossing, Doom, Final Fantasy, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, and The Last of Us Part Two. Game direction is all of those except for Doom. Like, just Doom isn't included there in terms of game direction.
Right.
And so that's, yeah, it makes sense that, like you said, Gary, that it's kind of hand in hand, but I think they can separate and go off and be their own different things.
Sure.
Awards. Gary, I want to thank you. I know this is tough for you to come in here and just not care about awards with me. Well, I'm going to give you a minute to catch your breath while I tell the world about our sponsors.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. This episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Gabby. You know you're probably overpaying on car and home insurance. Sure, you'd love to save money, but is spending hours on your own shopping for a lower rate to maybe save a few bucks worth it? Probably not. Do what a lot of folks have done, including Tim Gettys' own. Or no, Kinda Funny's own Tim Gettys, and use Gabby. Gabby does all the work for you in just a few minutes, and get this, Gabby customers save $961 per year on average. Gabby takes the pain out of shopping for insurance by giving you an apples-to-apples comparison of your current coverage with 40 of the top insurance providers like Progressive, Nationwide, and Travelers. Just link your current insurance account, and in minutes, you'll be able to see quotes for the exact same coverage you currently have. That's what plenty of folks did. It's fast, it's easy, and you can discover how much you're overpaying for your insurance. Like I mentioned earlier, Gabby customers save $961 per year on average. I'd bet that'd be nice to have in your pocket at each year. You can get a console right now. You can get one of them next-gen consoles. If they can't find you savings like they've done for plenty of others, they'll let you know so you can relax knowing you have the best rate out there, and they'll never sell your info, so no annoying spam or robocalls. You're probably overpaying on car and home insurance. See how much Gabby can save you. It's totally free to check, and there's no obligation. Go to gabby.com/gamesdaily. That's gabby.com/gamesdaily. gabby.com/gamesdaily. Our next sponsor is Upstart. There's a lot of economic chatter right now about the state of the market. Is it recovering? How long will it take? Have we seen the worst? But if you're struggling to pay off high interest credit card debt, you can't wait for those answers. You need to take action. Now with Upstart, there's actually something you can do today to help fight off high interest credit card debt. Upstart is the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000 so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part, if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes just a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. And our final sponsor of the day is HelloFresh. HelloFresh offers convenient, no-contact delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow with simple steps and pictures to guide you along the way. HelloFresh cuts out the stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. Kinda Funny loves HelloFresh. You've heard me talk about Tim and Gia using it. Gia made some pork ragu recently. Tim loved it. That's great. Blessing has been using it. And if you didn't know, Blessing usually eats like a 13-year-old boy on vacation from his parents. This guy is cooking. He's having fun. He's enjoying it. Again, it takes out the guesswork. You get the pre-portioned ingredients delivered. You get the step-by-step instructions. You assemble them and you make a meal worthy of being the Prince of Halloween. I'm Silly King Halloween. HelloFresh offers more than 20 chef curated delicious options every week to help you break out of your recipe rut, try new things, and make any night feel special. HelloFresh, as I said, delivers the pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying and overburdening the planet. HelloFresh packaging uses simple, HelloFresh packaging is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content. You can easily change delivery days or meal plan preferences. Skip a week whenever it's right for you. You can help with HelloFresh's Beyond the Box program, where you give nutritious meals to those experiencing food insecurity with just a couple clicks in the app. Go to HelloFresh.com/games90 and use the code games90 to get $90 off, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/games90. All right, Gary, we're done with the awards. Let's move on. Number two on the Roper Report, Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity reviews are up. I have the roundup. Are you ready, Mr. Witta?
Let's go.
The Metacritic, as of this morning, was at a 79. IGN gave it a 9. Cam Shea writes, Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity offers a welcome trip back to a world I've clocked hundreds of hours in. Its hugely varied roster of characters, solid combat mechanics, fun progression, and clever adaptation of Breath of the Wild's vision of Hyrule is a joy to play and discover. While there are some missed characterization opportunities, Age of Calamity is still a blast from start to finish. Nintendo Life gave it an 8. Gavin Lane wrote, approached with the knowledge that this is a full-featured side dish, you'll have a very good time hacking and slashing your way through Calamity Ganon's minions in Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. Just remember that despite its sparkling presentation, it is still not a Zelda game. What it is a brilliant Zelda-infused Musou experience filled with varied and satisfying combat and Breath of the Wild additions that work beautifully within the boundaries of the Warriors template. The care and attention given to detail here is hugely impressive. We found performance to be adequate and, crucially, it didn't affect our enjoyment throughout. Just be prepared for a slideshow once the pyrotechnics start in two-player co-op. In many ways, Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity could be exactly the game you need right now. It offers a stopgap opportunity to revisit a world and characters we adore. In a particularly calamitous year, Animal Crossing's calming alternative life was all well and good for a time, but there's definite catharsis in grabbing the Master Sword, sprinting out there, and giving all the prowling nasties a sound thrashing. It's a story of old friends and enemies coming together to triumph over incredible adversity. Yep, we'll take one of those right now, please. And then Game Informer gave it a 7.5. Ben Reeves write, Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity looks a lot like Breath of the Wild, but it lacks the exploration and puzzle-solving elements that define the mainline Legend of Zelda series. Age of Calamity may not resemble the traditional Zelda game, but it's not a bad time. The action is repetitive, but also relaxed and comfortable. It trades on your love for Nintendo's classic franchise, and I was happy for the excuse to return to this version of Hyrule. I still feel like I'm chasing Breath of the Wild's high, and Age of Calamity is a small solace. Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity is far from a revelation, but it is an adequate diversion. Mr. Gary Witta, do you give a flying fuck about Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity?
I do, actually. I'm excited about this one. Breath of the Wild, big hit in this house. My wife and my daughter both loved it. They both finished the game. They did all the DLC. Absolutely loved it. They played the demo and enjoyed that too. And even though I passed on Breath of the Wild, because I know it's just not...
You didn't play Breath of the Wild?
The core Zelda games have just never been my cup of tea. Huh. I know I'm missing out. I know.
No, if it's not for you, it's not for you. Don't worry.
It's some things just aren't my cup of tea. I tell you what is my cup of tea, though, Greg, is like slashing through hordes of baddies. I love doing that. I was a big fan of the Dynasty Warriors games.
Sure.
And this is basically that. In the Zelda universe. I could see myself playing this, actually. So comes out in just a few days. I think this could be fun for all the family.
Okay. Report back. I want to hear what
it's
you...
It's on my shopping list.
Yeah,
sad
Musos
to hear
never
about
done
the slowdown,
it
though. All the more reason to get that Switch Pro out there. When's that coming?
Next year seems Switch to be the rumor. Everybody thinks about next year.
Get it in there. You know the amazing thing, Greg, is that have you seen the like Nintendo's big like holiday TV commercial that's going out there now? It's like, oh, fun for all the family, get a Nintendo Switch, you know, holiday 2020, we have the games you want to play. Do you know what they're playing in the commercial?
Mario Kart.
Yeah,
Mario
Which
Kart
is
fucking
like a
kills
fucking
Gary
old
still
game, and yet it's
still selling like
it's
nobody's
amazing
business.
It's amazing to me. There's nothing else out there, and I think Animal Crossing is the one they're pushing, because that's kind of there are just games. Nintendo has this ability. I don't think any other company, any other I can't think of any other franchise that does this. Is like Grand Theft Auto is the only other one, like these evergreen perennially popular games that are still in like the top 10 sellers, like literally years after they come out. I've never seen anything like it. It's pretty amazing. And the fact that Nintendo is still so confident in those, I mean, Animal Crossing is a 2020 game, but like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe came out in what? I don't know. It came out with the system, basically. So it's what, 3-4 years old now? And it's still like at the center of like Nintendo's big, you know, holiday promotional push. I just think that's remarkable. So
I mean, people still buy that like crazy, right? Looking at I'm over on VentureBeat.com, also GameSpeed. Don't forget Jeffy Grubgrub, his October 2020 NPD rundown. Remember that it was right here as you go through the list, right? Number 5 was Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. Number 6 was Super Mario All Stars. Number 7 was Animal Crossing New Horizons. Number 11 was Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Number 15, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Number 16, Ring Fit Adventure. Number 17, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And that's, of course, with the Switch itself being the best-selling console yet again, right? I'm trying to get which year. It was something like it's a 20-some month thing on here.
Oh, yeah. It's been like the top-selling console for like the last 2 years or something every month. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I want to say it's a 20-something streak.
Nintendo 23rd back on top.
Nintendo Switch was the best-selling console in the United States for the 23rd month in a row. Yikes. You know what I mean? And it does. It makes sense. My friend just bought a Switch.
Hey, Greg, do you want a scoop? I can actually combine two stories for you here at once.
Scoop. Yeah, what's that?
We talked about Game Awards. We're talking about Nintendo. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you this, but fuck it. They didn't pay me anything, so whatever. I am presenting the award for Nintendo Game of the Year at the Golden Joysticks Awards this year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I was really flattered that they asked me to do it, and it was a really cool thing. It was all pre-recorded over Zoom. I sent in a video because they're doing it virtually.
Sure.
This year.
Did you do it on your animal talking set?
I did send them some animal. I did it live as me, but I did also for another thing they asked for. I sent them some animal talking footage as well.
That was the thing. I know you don't care about awards.
It took me 5 minutes. They asked me to do it. You know, I have a hard time saying no to people. It took me 5 minutes to record the video, so I was happy to do so.
Sure. Number 3 on the rubber.
But I tell you, Greg, like it's a real thing. Like we were playing Mario Kart like the day before yesterday. Like it still comes out. We still play it. The more I think about it, the more I wish Nintendo supported that game better. Like, where's the paid DLC? Like, where's the track pack? I'd like to give me some more tracks. Give me a new cup.
There's building. Why? Like it continues to sell. Why? Just wait and make the next Mario Kart. Don't even worry about it.
Mario Kart 9. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Did you at all do? Did you, especially with the daughter, do a home tour circuit, whatever the fuck it is, the RC Mario Kart?
You know what? It was impossible to find for a while. I hear that it's now back in stock in places. So I think I'm gonna order it up. The problem with it is you kind of need to get two, right? Because like if you need, it doesn't. I wish it should really. I'm gonna get annoyed now. It should ideally. it's greedy. That basic kit should really come with two races. It should come with a Mario and a Luigi. You can buy a Mario or a Luigi, but if you actually want to like race each other rather than just go round and round in circles by yourself, you kind of need to buy two kits.
I feel like your mic's live and you're getting we're getting the studio thing.
God damn it! Sorry, guys. Yeah,
come on, Pebbles.
I was gonna say, I feel like Tim has one. He's probably not gonna use ever again. So
you know. That's a great point, actually. Yeah, Tim hasn't, but you
buy
know.
Yourself one and then maybe see if he'll give you the other one.
He'll rent it to you, you know, at a drop dead price. Number 3 on the
report. I do want to try that live circuit thing. It does look like fun.
We're moving on. Number 3.
Kevin,
bring Tim into this live stream chat and we'll guilt him about it. We'll see if you can give it to him. Number 3 on the Roper Report. The Embracer Group has nabbed 12 studios and a PR firm. This is Dean Takahashi at GameSpeed. He knows Jeffy Grubgrub. Somebody better tell Embracer Group, formerly THQ Nordic and Nordic Games Publishing, to slow down because the game publisher just decided to acquire 12 game studios. The deals are smaller in nature, but along with Microsoft's $7.5 billion acquisition of Bethesda in September, it is yet more proof that the games industry has gone insane with deal-making. The acquired studios include Thinking Ape Entertainment in Canada, Nimble Giant Entertainment in Argentina, Mad Head Games in Serbia. Man, I'm just struggling. Here's the problem. I don't know where my cup of water is. I only have my cup of coffee, and that just dries my mouth out more. Snapshot Games in Bulgaria, 34 Big Things in Italy, Zen Studios in Hungary, IUGO Mobile Entertainment in Canada, Purple Lamp Studios in Austria, Quantic Lab in Romania, Coffee Stain North, Flying Wild Hog in Poland, and Silent Games in England. It also bought Sandbox Strategies, a PR and influencers relation. PR and influencer relations agency in New York. The 11 studios and PR agency add at least 1,273 employees to Embracer Group's growing ranks. That, as that pushes the company over 5,000 employees. The Karlstad, Sweden-based company, said it has more. It has 135 game projects in the works right now, up from 118 in May. Market researcher New Zoo expects game industry revenues to hit $174.9 billion in 2020, thanks in part to gamers entertaining themselves relentlessly during the pandemic. Embracer raised $661 million in cash via a stock sale on October 8th. Embracer Group also reported its earnings today and said its sales increased 89% for the third quarter ended September 30th to $276.4 million, while profits before taxes and other items were $112.3 million. If this is a very inside baseball one, and we're getting even more to it because we work with Sandbox Strategies all the time in terms of getting codes. When we did that Second Extinction stream a while back, that was through them. Over at Sandbox, Rob, who's in charge of the company, says, "When we were approached to join their family, we jumped at the chance. It just seemed like such a natural fit. We're able to remain a standalone group and stick to our core business of PR and content creator outreach, and at the same time offer our services to other developers and publishers within Embracer. I'm excited for what the future holds and look forward to working with all of our friends, new and old, as we move forward together." Gary, Embracer Group cannot be stopped.
I tell you what I like most about Mario Kart, Greg.
This is not a juicy one. This is not a holy shit, let's talk for 30 minutes about it. It is just yet another thing of, remember, these motherfuckers are crazy. They brought back SpongeBob, they brought back Reckoning, they brought back Destroy All Humans, they called themselves THQ Nordic. Like, they continue to buy in, now they bought a PR firm that's still standalone and can do things.
When I was reading the story about all the studios they bought, my first thought was, wow, I didn't know that many studios left. I thought THQ Nordic had already hoovered them all up, but apparently there are, and now there's this other company out there that I've never heard of.
No, Gary, this is THQ Nordic.
Wait, this is part of THQ Nordic?
This is the parent company. They were called THQ Nordic, and then they said they were the parent company, THQ Nordic. Then they had THQ Nordic, and they said that's confusing. So the parent company changed their name to Embracer Group. These are those motherfuckers you're talking about. This is Lars Wingfors.
Yeah,
he is buying the entire fucking industry.
Yeah, it's like when you play against some annoying fucker that like winds up owning every Monopoly property on the board. There's nothing left for you to buy. I'm like, how is there anything left for anyone else to buy?
Yes.
Now it makes total sense.
And that's why Lars is winning, because he's not buying Boardwalk and Park Place. He is buying Baltic. He is buying all the little properties nobody cares about. And he's building
the electric company, the fucking rail. He's got all the railroad station. He's got. It's different for me because my Monopoly board is different. We don't have Park Place. So we have like Mayfair and Piccadilly and stuff like that. We have proper Monopoly, not this American
shit. No, you have knockoff London Monopoly.
What the hell is that?
Everybody's got that. You know, at least the people who know, like when you talk to somebody who plays Chicago Monopoly, they're not like, oh, I don't understand what that is. Sorry. I only know the Magnificent Mile.
Wait, if you buy Monopoly in Chicago, is it all Chicago stuff?
There's all the different one-offs of it. There's Achievement Hunter Monopoly. There's all sorts of crap.
Really? They're that big?
Yeah.
Why isn't there Kind of Funny Monopoly?
We are not that big. Yeah. Kindoffunny.com/store. If you want new shit, you have to buy the old shit. I know you don't want the old shit. I know. It sucks. Some of it's only like $4 now. Just fucking buy it so we can get new shit.
It is amazing how many different types of. There's like fucking Halo Monopoly and all kinds of mad shit out there now. It's like, you know, you've made it when you either have your own Monopoly or your own Funko Pop.
That is true. Yeah. You see that. Austin Creed, aka Xavier Woods from Up Up Down Down, WWE Superstar, and the New Day in general is getting added to Gears. They got themselves in Gears.
Yeah, I saw that. That's amazing.
Awesome.
Amazing. Why aren't we in Gears?
We're not that popular. That's the problem, Gary. They'll put shirtless Spider-Man in as a reference that if you get, you get, and if you don't, you don't. He's just some fat guy. Number four, this is a quick one for you. Deej is going to Iron Galaxy. This is from Iron Galaxy. Today, we are excited to announce that former Bungie Communications Director David Deej Daig has joined the company as Head of Communications and Chief Operating Officer. and Chief Operating Officer Chelsea Blasco has been named co-CEO alongside Adam Boys. The expanded leadership team will drive the development and launch of an original multiplayer melee combat IP for consoles and PC. Renowned for his work on the launch team for the Destiny franchise at video game developer Bungie, new hire Deej has built exceptional teams that create inclusive, vibrant online communities that engage players. Deej will be building on his previous success with the creation of a new community team at Iron Galaxy. Of course, Iron Galaxy, a proud Chicago business. Adam Boys, a fucking clown. Dave Lang, also a fucking clown. Deej, a good guy. Maybe he'll finally
I love those bozos.
Maybe he'll finally clean the place up. You know what I mean? Because whatever. But congrats to all of them. That's awesome. And it's exciting to see them talk about an original multiplayer melee combat IP. We'll see what that ends up
being. Yeah, absolutely.
Gary, I'm excited to see what Deej does over there. You know, throws out the trash, gets rid of Dave Lang, everything that can happen over there. But
same thing.
Is still far away. If I want to know something more immediate, what came to the mom and pop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, the Four Kings Casino.
Don't do that.
That's ASMR. Like that people love that. No. See, that's one of the reasons we're not big enough for Monopoly.
I do think Kevin should do his own ASMR channel.
Kevin should do a 3-hour long video where he reads the yellow pages.
I'm looking into some stuff that would make that easier.
Breathes into a microphone.
It's reading? Very exciting.
The yellow pages?
What? No, I said I'm looking into some stuff with audio for some experimental things that I've been thinking about developing.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm actually excited about that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm hosted on that one.
Yeah.
Out today, the Four Kings Casino and slots on Xbox One, Nexoria, Dungeon, Rogue Heroes on Switch, Real Politics, sorry, 2 on PC. Who is the Liar on PC? Solitarix on PC. PUBG gets update 9.2 on PC and is coming to consoles on November 26th. Players can drop into Battlegrounds to try out a new vehicle, mini Survivor Pass, and get balance updates. Second Extinction, that game I was talking about with Sandbox, gets a new insane difficulty mode on PC. And then there's a Pokemon Go update coming starting November 30th. Well, actually, this is a new date then. Just pretend I moved to new dates. Starting November 30th, the Go Beyond update will bring an improved leveling experience for all players, increase the level cap to 50, create streamlined events known as Seasons, and introduce Pokemon originally found in the Kalos region to the game for the first time. New dates for real. IO Interactive is teasing that they have a new project reveal. They're doing that on November 19th. That is tomorrow at 6 a.m. Pacific. You can watch live, youtube.com/IO Interactive. Of course, we'll talk about it on Games Daily as well.
Oh, thank God.
What now?
I'm just happy we're not live streaming. You know
what I mean? Okay, yeah. Cool.
6 a.m., no, thank you.
The Game Her Awards, a media platform that connects, supports, and empowers women in gaming, is announcing the winners for its first ever Women in Gaming Awards series. After 8 weeks of receiving over 600 nominations and more than 70,000 votes for the finalists, the Game Hers will announce their official winners during a live finale November 19th, again tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Tinkertown is coming to Steam Early Access on December 3rd, and then Star Wars Squadrons is getting a content drop. It reads like this. On Wednesday, November 25th, the first update will deploy, giving players a brand new map of a fan-favorite location, Fostar Haven. Is that how you say that, you nerd? You Star Wars nerd, Gary? Fostar Haven? This new map will be available in both fleet battles and dogfight mode. Additionally, this update comes with several new ship components, including a booster extension kit, rockets, prototype piercing torpedoes, and anti-material rocket turret. The second holiday supply drop will arrive in December and feature some of the community's most requested content, starting with two new iconic starfighters, an A/SF-01 B-Wing starfighter for New Republic pilots, and then a TIE/D Defender multi-role starfighter will join the Imperial Navy's fleet.
I'm excited about the B-Wing. Best ship in Star Wars.
Did you ever get into this? Did you play Squadrons?
I got, I've been waiting for a couple of things. I've been waiting to get my flight stick and throttle, which has now shown up. They're very hard to get these days for some reason.
Sure.
I think because flight sim and there's a couple of, for some reason you can't get it, really, really hard to find. I was eventually able to procure one. And I've been waiting for a couple of patches to both the VR and the flight stick sensitivity so that generally, I often don't play games at launch, Greg. I often wait for a couple of patches for it to like properly stabilize because I want my experience with the game to be good, and I don't want to be like for example, Assassin's Creed Valhalla is really buggy. And that would bum me out to be playing it at launch with all those bugs. I would rather wait a couple of months until the first few patches have cleaned it up, and then I can have a, you know, a better experience with it.
Fair enough, Gary. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Jordan McCarthy needs help on PS5. Jordan's PSN is JPD Maca, M-A-C-C-A, Maca, I guess. JPD, M-A-C-C-A. Hi, Greg and Gary. As you may know, we are finally getting the PS5 in Europe tomorrow, and I can't wait. I'm getting Spider-Man and Demon's Souls on launch, but may pick up Sackboy or Call of Duty also. It would be great to have some KFBFs to share great next-gen experiences with. Thanks for everything you do, constantly bringing positivity to the world. Also, Gary has a strong taste in football teams.
I'm glad that he thinks so.
Who's your favorite football team? The Bears? Chicago Bears? You like
That kind of New football?
I guarantee he's in the Europe. He's in Europe. He's talking about soccer, okay. But he said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Macca. He's probably from Macclesfield.
There you go.
Would be
JPD Macca if you want to play some PlayStation.
Yeah,
5.
Tottenham Hotspur Football Club.
Gary, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Did really well today. Not a wrong, but Zan Fair confirms that Kojima did win Best Game Direction for Death Stranding. Greg, you were right. Thank you. Song of Storm says, just correcting something Gary said on the show. He said all major award shows have their contention periods from January 1st to December 31st. The Oscars is indeed that time frame, but the Emmys and Grammys are different. Emmys are June 1st to May 31st, and the Grammys are also September 1st to August 31st. So as always,
that's true, and those are based more around like, you know, because like television, like it's changing these days in the age of streaming, but like seasonal television, you know, network seasonal television typically goes from September up until like May, and there's not much TV on in the summer. So because the TV season is technically is kind of a different 12-month period, makes sense for the Emmys to reflect that. I don't know anything about music, but I imagine it's something similar with the Grammys as well. But the closest analog is movies, where most of the big movies and most of the big games are certainly the ones that would be considered worthy of awards contention come out towards the end of the year. So it makes sense to give, you know, voters breathing room to properly consider those end of year games. That's the only point I was making.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wita Wednesday. Tomorrow, it's going to be me and Tim Tam himself, 430 under 30, Tim Geddes. Friday, a game change for you, or a little change in your programs. It's going to be me and Asa Green River from Borderline Entertainment celebrating Native American Heritage Month. Those will be the hosts to close you out this week for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Of course, our show doesn't actually end here. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get the post show Gary and I are about to do, exclusive to you right there. However, if you want to stay here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, Internet Explorers is up next. You got Tim, Andy, and Nick doing goofy things on the internet for you. So yeah.
Also, Greg, later today, I don't know if you caught this last week. I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't. But I unboxed the PS5 on my own Twitch channel, and I don't understand unboxings, but people seem to like them. It was very, very popular. It was like the most popular Twitch stream I've done outside of Animal Talking, like a really long time. People really, really like watching people take, you know, cables and shit out of boxes. Yeah. Who knew? Anyway, it was super popular, and so I thought I would do another one. So later today, guess what I've got here? Microsoft sent me the Series S, which I'm actually quite excited about, because this might be the perfect box for me to stream from when I do my Xbox game streaming. So I'm thinking about 2:30 p.m. Pacific today on my channel, twitch.tv/GaryWitter. I'm going to unbox and talk a little bit about the Xbox Series S, and I hope you'll join me for that. Well, and to the person in chat who just said that the PS PS5 unboxing was lame, go fuck yourself.
Thanks
for the view, sucker.
you got him. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday, we are here with the nerdy video game news you need to know about. You can be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Get the post show we're about to do over there. Of course, you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or listen on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, thank you for supporting it. Until next time. It's been our pleasure to serve you.